On the afternoon of July 5, 1983, three adult supervisors and a group of youngsters set up camp at a popular spot beside Lake Kanemina in the fragrant pine forest of western Quebec, about 80 miles north of Ottawa, in a park called La Vérendrye Provincial Reserve. They cooked dinner and, afterwards, in the correct fashion, secured their food in a bag and carried it 100 or so feet into the woods, where they suspended it above the ground between two trees, out of the reach of bears. About midnight, a black bear came prowling around the margins of the camp, spied the bag, and brought it down by climbing one of the trees and breaking a branch. He plundered the food and departed, but an hour later he was back, this time entering the camp itself, drawn by the lingering smell of cooked meat in the campers' clothes and hair, in their sleeping bags and tent fabric. It was to be a long night for the Kanemina party. Three times between midnight and 3:30 a.m., the bear came to the camp. Imagine, if you will, lying in the dark alone in a little tent, nothing but a few microns of trembling nylon between you and the chill night air, listening to a 400-pound bear moving around your campsite. Imagine its quiet grunts and mysterious snufflings, the clatter of upended cookware and sounds of moist gnawings, the pad of its feet and the heaviness of its breath, the singing brush of its haunch along your tent side. Imagine the hot flood of adrenaline, that unwelcome tingling in the back of your arms at the sudden rough bump of its snout against the foot of your tent, the alarming wild wobble of your frail shell as it roots through the backpack that you left casually propped by the entrance, with, you suddenly recall, a Snickers in the pouch. Bears adore Snickers, you've heard. And then the dull thought, oh God, that perhaps you brought the Snickers in here with you, that it's somewhere in here, down by your feet, or underneath you, or, oh shit, here it is. Another bump of grunting head against the tent, this time near your shoulders, more crazy wobble. Then silence, a very long silence, and, wait, shh, yes, the unutterable relief of realizing that the bear has withdrawn to the other side of the camp or shambled back into the woods. I tell you right now, I couldn't stand it. So imagine then what it must have been like for poor little David Anderson, age 12, when at 3:30 a.m. on the third foray, his tent was abruptly rent with a swipe of claw, and the bear, driven to distraction by the rich, unfixable, everywhere aroma of hamburger, bit hard into a flinching limb and dragged him shouting and flailing through the camp and into the woods. In the few moments it took the boy's fellow campers to unzip themselves from their accoutrements, and imagine, if you will, trying to swim out of suddenly voluminous sleeping bags, take up flashlights and makeshift cudgels, undo tent zips with helplessly fumbling fingers and give chase. In those few moments, poor little David Anderson was dead. Now imagine reading a nonfiction book packed with stories such as this, true tales soberly related, just before setting off alone on a camping trip of your own into the North American wilderness. The book to which I refer is Bear Attacks, Their Causes and Avoidance, by a Canadian academic named Stephen Herrero. If it is not the last word on the subject, then I really, really, really do not wish to hear the last word.